Again, welcome back. So we watched stuff 140. I'm Jeremy. As always, Shahid is joining me. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying myself. I was playing some God of War when you hit me up for this show.
How was that, by the way? Not to waste a whole lot of time on other stuff. But...
It is a... I've played it for maybe about 2 hours. The hype is worth it because, like, everything I read about is kind of saying, like, it's an awesome game. Like, it looks gorgeous. It takes time getting used to, not because, like, the game itself, but because if you're used to playing, like, the other God of Wars, then you jump into this one, it's like, no, it's not like that. Like, it doesn't play the same, it doesn't look the same, and it doesn't feel the same. It feels more grown up, I think. And it's like, I know the main push is basically, like, you know, father-son thing. You definitely feel it because, like, Kratos now just feel like that angry dad that's been home that never spent time with his son is trying to get used to his son. So I've read a lot of reviews and people have talked about that, saying, you know, like, people with, like, father issues or parent issues, it's really hit them because it's, like, real relatable.
Yeah.
And I've played it for, like, a little bit and I can definitely see that. So, yeah, I'm definitely taking my time with it. And it's, I think playing Nioh helped me play this because that game is hard and plays a similar way. So when I ran to this difficulty, it wasn't like too surprising because I played God of War before. And if you're good at it, you really don't have to use a block button that much. Yeah, this one, if you're not paying attention, you kind of die like easy.
Yeah, that's PlayStation only, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's why I've never played them. I've seen them. They look cool, but since I only have an Xbox One, there was no reason to... I mean, never had an opportunity to play it, so... Well, that's cool. That's enough of the goofing around before the show. Let's get right into it. Everyone knows what the show's going to be about. Not going to be a whole lot of asides, really, because there's a lot to digest for this movie. Obviously, we're talking about Avengers Infinity War, and I'm actually glad we didn't do the show right afterwards for a change. Usually we see it on a Thursday and we do a show Friday or, you know, the next day, something like that, just immediately. This time we actually had to wait a little bit. So first off, no joking aside, do you think this is the best comic movie ever? Or is Dark Knight still the standard? I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, by the way.
It's not, because it's almost like unfair to compare the two, because Dark Knight was more a standalone thing. And this one's more a culmination thing. This is definitely the most ambitious one. And I want to say probably the most emotional one.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not one, it's definitely top three. I would definitely say that. Because I know, like, Marvel standard, there was no one consensus. But if the closest one was probably, like, Winter Soldier. And... this one, if this isn't one, this is 1A, and I would probably lean this one 1 because of how much they had to do, how much it built up to this, and then how it ended. Like, the main word I would use, like, relentless. Like, this movie did not stop. Like, I was joking with you where I was saying I had to go to the bathroom right after I started watching it, and I was like, I'll just wait for... Because I went before the movie started, and then I had to go like 10 minutes in. And I was like, I'll just wait till a slow spot to go. And next thing I know, it's like the movie's over 2.5 hours later. Like, it was no spots where I feel like I can miss.
Yeah, and there really wasn't. I didn't have a bathroom issue, but I thought the same thing, though. It was the comics pages flip, and there wasn't even a credit sequence or anything. It was immediate. You're right at the end of Thor Ragnarok. And you're right in the middle of the action. So, and that's one thing I liked, and maybe some people who didn't sell the movies won't like it, but tough. I like the fact they didn't fill you in. Here's what's going on. Tough shit if you don't know what's going on. I really enjoyed that. Like, if you didn't see Thor Ragnarok, you had no idea what happened to Thor. Like, why has he only got one eye? Why has he got short hair? Wait, why are they on a ship? All this sort of stuff. I really enjoyed that. Because Eric Nelson said, we were talking about something wrestling related, and I brought up the fact that watching Justified, that they bring up stuff from season 2 when they're on season 6, And he goes, yeah, that's called they pay off your viewership. You know, it's maybe not what they were intending, but if you pay attention, you're a lifelong fan, whatever else, all of this stuff matters. And that's kind of what this movie felt like, and it started right in the beginning. I mean, no synopsis, no nothing.
Yeah, like how you going to synopsis 18 movies?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like this. I mean, this is not just a sequel to Avengers. This is basically a sequel to everything. Yes. So even trying to do a synopsis, like, you would waste 30 minutes. So why bother? And I heard those critics saying, you know, it's lazy. I'm like, it's...
Wait, what?
I made the joke. No, people, a lot of critics who complain, not a lot of critics complain, but critics complain, one of the complaints were they didn't do enough, like, you know, recaps and stuff, and it felt lazy because it's like they expect you to watch the movie beforehand. I'm like, yeah, that's why it's called a sequel. And I've made the joke, like, imagine you, like, the first Lethal Weapon movie you saw was Lethal Weapon 4, and you like, who's this guy? Who's Joe Pesci? And it's like, you never watch, if you haven't watched 1, 2, or 3, what do you think is going to happen if you watch the fourth one? And they're like direct sequels to each other. It's like, that's foolish. This isn't like James Bond. This isn't like, you know, even like a Star Trek movie sequel wise. These movies are like linked, and mm-hmm. The people who are going to see this one, it's not like a standalone movie. It's an Avengers movie. And it's like, you jump in and you don't have any context. That's on you. That's not the movie's fault. That's your fault.
Yeah, that's actually a surprise. People would complain about that. But, well, you know what? Nothing should surprise me anymore about how people react to movies, because this has been universally praised. I haven't met one person who didn't think the movie was awesome. And even my wife, who had said she's burned out on these movies, like she is, she loved it. So the criticism that, well, it's lazy just drives me nuts, because there ain't nothing lazy about this thing. And storytelling-wise, okay, even if you don't really know what happened to Thor, okay, cool. It's not that important. So he's got short hair, one eye, and he gets his eye back, which was gross and funny at the same time. They
do enough telling you, like, what happened. Like, you know, Thor had a conversation saying, you know, I lost this, and this happened. You know, it's enough stuff that happens that they tell you about where you can basically get the important gist of it. Like, why are the Avengers together? Because yada, yada, yada. Why is Thor like this? Because yada, yada, yada. The rest of it is like, too many times we complain about how they waste time with exposition and origin stories and stuff. And this one is kind of like, you know, we assume you've been part of the story, so here's the story. And we got a lot. And keep in mind, we got a lot of story to tell, and we can't waste time. Like, I was thinking about the movie and, like, anything to change, and I'm like, you could add some stuff for the movie as long as it is. And it's kind of like, you don't want, like, 2.5 hours is pushing it. Like, it didn't feel like the movie didn't drag, and the movie didn't feel long, but 2.5 hours is still 2.5 hours. And it's kind of like, anything beyond that, I don't care how good the movie is, you start to, you know, get tired and kind of like check out. So whatever changes, I couldn't think of making the changes that wouldn't make the movie longer. And then making the movie longer has its own set of issues. And it's like, you still got to show the movie. Like, it's funny, when I went Saturday, that was the second time I went, and they were showing like every 40, 45 minutes. It was still like a line of like 100 people. We got there an hour early. It's still like 120 people in line in front of us.
That's
on a Saturday. Yeah. Like, and it's not like they were showing six. They were showing it every 45 minutes. And we got there early, and the line started where you, like, the theater split on two sides, like a lot of theaters are. The line started on one side of the theater, and it finished on the complete other side of the theater. Like, it looped around, like, you know, it goes up and down, went up and down like 3 times, and then loops all the way across the lobby where you get your food, and goes all the way down to where you will walk into the other side of the theater. And this is like an hour before the movie starts. And I'm like, this is insane. Like, we got decent seats, but it's kind of like, you got, you know, even with all those showings, you still can't have the movie too long, because, like, you got to make money, because you got to fit as many showings as possible.
Well, it seems like the movie theaters made plenty of effort to make sure there was plenty of showings for this thing. So, I see ours. We don't have that problem. We have the reserved seating, I think, at every theater now. So we got there 10 minutes before it started, just sat right down, which is just, I can't, I honestly, and this, I'm not even being like a smartass about this, I can't imagine it doing it the old way anymore. I really can't. But anyways, one thing that I will say this, I had a cool crowd. Like, this is the first time seeing one of these movies. Like, you know, like, you know, like, people cheer in yours or stand up, whatever else.
Yeah.
I finally had that, so maybe that enhanced the enjoyment. A quick aside, I think I told you this, they started playing previews. And I was like, oh, man, these are all the old ones. Like, old Jurassic World, old Deadpool, old this, old this. So they pulled out, and I saw it in IMAX, not 3D, thank God.
I saw IMAX 3D, and it was distracting at some point. Like, it was good, but, like, some parts was distracting. And then, like, the 3D just stopped near the end of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, this one, they filmed the entire thing in IMAX.
I was wondering, because they were promoting this as everything filmed in IMAX cameras. I'm going, really?
Yeah. Yep.
That's a weird standard to do, but, hey, good. I mean, if you're gonna put it in IMAX now, you kind of have to. But, anyways. So they play all those previews. I'm like, well, that sucks, because the new Deadpool and all that. And so they take it out, and it takes them like 5 minutes to get the roll going. And, you know, it's all computerized now. Well, all of a sudden, it goes dark. Everyone starts cheering. The following preview has been approved by. We're like, what? It's Mission Impossible, the same one again. And I'm like, all right, they just messed up. That's cool. It'll get fixed in a second. The following preview has been, I'm like, are you kidding? And it was a new Deadpool one, which is hilarious in the PG setting, because you know what he says in the previews, you know what he says, like, in the trailer online, and just seeing how they change it. So that gets done. The following preview has been, and the whole crowd starts getting antsy. They played the exact same previews again, all 15 minutes of them, but just new versions of everything. And
so nobody noticed.
People started going, start the damn movie, like, all that sort of stuff. And one guy finally just yelled, come on already! So when the movie started, like, the Marvel thing came up, everyone started cheering. Yeah. It was movie. Like, oh my God. So we had 30 minutes of previews for the same two previews.
Well, you know, I didn't have that problem, but it's funny where I saw a lot of the previews, like, overlap. Like, I went to see it Thursday, and it was the old Venom trailer, like the first one.
Yeah.
When I went to see it Saturday, it was the new Venom trailer. And it's just funny. It's kind of like, I went Thursday, I saw IMAX 3D. Like, and comparing the crowds, the Thursday crowd was a lot better. Like, they were it was hardcore fans, but not like dickhead fans. So they were all into it, cheering and stuff. And like, when stuff hit. The Saturday crowd was kind of like a mix of hardcore fans and casual fans. I know when I went Thursday, that's the first time I've been to a Marvel movie where nobody left. And when I say nobody, I mean nobody. Like, even sometimes you might have, like, I've gone to Thursday openings, and even then you might have, like, one or, you know, a few people leave. It's the first one where nobody left. Saturday, half the people left.
Yeah, see, there were still people leaving in my show. And I'm like, you guys haven't learned yet? And then as soon as Nick Fury popped up, I was like, oh, yeah. So just because we have to, spoilers. So, not that we have to, but it's like, if you don't know by now, you're dipshit. Anyways, we had a lot of people leave, and it's like, good, get out. But getting back to the movie, I didn't know about this until after the fact, but I guess, and you mentioned him before we started, like, James Gunn, he helped write dialogue and write parts for the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, like, everybody else had their hands in writing, like, specific characters, specific movies. And I guess I'm going to give credit to the Russo brothers, because the Guardians stuff felt like the Guardians. Like, the look of the movie, the action, all that sort of stuff, it felt just like a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, even though we're watching an Avengers thing. And then, like, Captain America, who wasn't actually in this too much, to my surprise, and I don't know. Thor was just kind of whatever, but like, the stuff felt like the movies that they came from, which I thought was a pretty cool choice, because it could have just made all, you know, same old.
But the funny thing is, kind of like, you gotta give the Russos a lot of credit, because it's a lot of different genres and like stories to juggle, and it didn't feel like it was an issue. Like, it felt organic. And then I remember a lot of people was concerned when they first announced this, like, this could be a disaster. Not because they're bad, it's just you're trying to fit in so much stuff in one movie, and you know got Thanos, and it's like, how would this work? Because it's not like, you know, Captain America has different tones than Iron Man does, which has different tone than Thor. And then you got Spider-Man, which is, you know, Guardians, and like even like something like Doctor Strange and Black Panther. And yeah, I noticed that people who weren't in the movie a lot, like, you know, Captain America, I figured some people probably save for the next one.
Yeah.
I think the Black Panther one was kind of like they didn't realize how big Black Panther would be. Mm-hmm. Had they known, I think if anybody would have had their role kind of pumped up a little bit more with him, but it's kind of like, you know, you don't know. You're thinking it's going to play like, they were thinking it's going to play like Doctor Strange and Ant-Man, and it played like an Avengers movie. So it's kind of like we can't go back and recut it because they were filming around the same time. So, but beyond that, it's like, you know, I never felt like people really got shortchanged too much, because it's kind of like it's hard to fit people in there. And then the main thing is like, this is a villain movie.
Yes.
And this is like the first time like Marvel or any like major comic movie has done this. Like, you know, this is like a villain, not even an origin story, like a villain character arc. Mm-hmm. And it was ballsy as hell to do it. It was the right move. And yeah, kudos to Josh Brolin, because I'm watching this movie the whole time, and at no point it sunk in my head like, this is, he's just there in a motion capture suit.
Yeah.
Like, with, it never with sunk
with
my
head. With a Thanos head, like, sitting on top of it, which I saw I saw the making of stuff, which, how distracting that had to have been, but.
Yeah, and like, you're just watching it, it just felt like a guy, like, you know, he could emote with his face, like, it felt like a real human. It didn't feel like, you know, something just computerized, and it's kind of like, it could have easily been a disaster, because it's hard to do that. Like, most of the best characters are like, you know, even if they have makeup and stuff, they're characters, they're people. And you see him, and it's like, it's, you couldn't just have him like a whole bunch of makeup, because they had him like, what, 10 feet tall? Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, like a more steroid version of Brock Lesnar, which is funny just saying that, but like, it felt like a human, and he played it like a human. Oh, he played like a person.
Yes.
He didn't play like a, you know, like a thing or a force of nature or like a stereotype. It felt like a character, and I will give him credit, because he, if that doesn't work, like if he doesn't pull that off, the movie doesn't work at all.
No, and that's what I enjoyed about it. I don't know, when are we supposed to stop being surprised about Disney getting stuff right? You know? Or Marvel, I mean, you know, it's pretty specific now that they're all divided up, you know? But, like, when are we gonna be done being surprised that they got stuff right? I mean, Thor, sure, everyone was surprised, because, you know, the Thor movies didn't exactly track that well. So, but what, Ant-Man was fun? The new Ant-Man looks even better. So it's like, all right, well, I guess, unless they're going to put out some goofy shit and we're like, no, this isn't going to work. Nah.
But even then, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, no one thought that would have worked.
Yeah.
And look how that turned out. I don't think it's necessary people would think they get it right, but to the extent of how well it's done. Mm-hmm. And just they, because it's like, it's different between us doing it well and doing it awesomely. Because, and then even think about it, like when he was, the few times he was, like when he was in Guardians, like, you know, 30 seconds, we didn't really get that much. It's like, okay, it's a dude in a floating chair talking. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, do people really want to see this for the whole movie? And then you see the trailers, people were kind of like making fun of how he looks, because it, the, you know, the look does look kind of silly. I'm watching the movie, I never thought it looked silly, even when people making jokes about it. I just thought like it just worked. And yeah, it's funny, we're probably jumping all over the place. Like, we've talked about movies that kind of ended, like more Marvel movies kind of end with a good ending, and even when they end like melancholy, because, you know, Civil War wasn't necessarily like the happiest ending, but at least it's, you had like a ray of hope where, you know, Captain America breaks out his friends and like he's running around. Ragnarok kind of ended I mean, with jokes, but it's kind of like, you know, Thor basically lost. Mm-hmm. he just saved his people. This one is like, yeah, the bad guy did exactly what he said he was going to do, and he did it, and it ended with him. And it's like, you don't see movies like this do this.
No. Everyone's going to say Empire Strikes Back, but can you name another one of these, like, big franchise ones where the good guys lost?
I wouldn't even say Empire Strikes Back, because, like, the, you know, at least they had hope. It's kind of like you see them, like, planning for the future. You know, you see Luke in his new hand, and you see them there. Like, imagine Empire Strikes Back, like, you know, Han's frozen, Luke's dead, and Leia's in jail.
True, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, this one, where's the hope? You know, well, at least half the people alive. I was like, yeah, the villain won. Mm-hmm. And not just when, like, I take over the world. It's like when half the people in the universe are gone. Just, like, gone. Like, he said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to watch the sunset. And that's exactly what he did. And that's how the movie ends. And when I saw it Thursday, the last 15, 20 minutes, people were actively sobbing. Like, they were crying their eyes out. And it's funny, because you know, it's like, you hear the complaints saying, like, you know, this won't stick, and yada, 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 because they film sequels and stuff. It's like, kudos to the movie where, even if you knew that, you got so caught up in a movie, it didn't matter. And to be perfectly honest, why all these people want to be sociopaths? Like, I need real stakes in my movie. You really want a Marvel Universe to have people die and stay dead? It's like, oh, I like these characters. I would like them. Like, I made a joke. Imagine watching Fast and Furious. Like, you know what? I like Ludacris, but they need to have more stakes. I would really like these movies more if they just knocked him off. It's like people complain about the people who died in that movie.
Okay.
And this one is like, people want to say, you know, and even before the movie came out, they say, well, if you're going to really have things, you need to knock off like these 6-7 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, all right. So here's the thing with that. One, a lot of people didn't know that there was that there's another movie next year. Because my dad went and saw it, he texted me and said, "So how are they going to make other movies going forward with the other guy's contracts running out?" He goes, "Is this the last one?" And I'm like, "No, there's another one next year." He goes, "Oh, okay." And then there's been other people I've run into that didn't know that, and I felt kind of bad telling them. You know, maybe I ruined the surprise, like, if Captain Marvel comes out next year and they have the preview for the new Avengers. But too late now.
Yeah, but I guess they must have forgot. Because when it first came out, it was announced as a part one, and then they changed the name. It was like, I guess people just forgot that was a thing.
Well, remember, though, we're the people that are online all the time.
No,
there are
even
those people that aren't.
Yeah. I mean, not even just the on, I guess to a certain extent, but even like the online part, I'm thinking like my Thursday crowd or the just kind of like they would know that stuff. The Saturday crowd, I'm not surprised, because like casual fans, yeah. Hardcore fans, they would definitely know, because like they did. Who else would go like, I'm going to go there Thursday night when it first comes out at IMAX, you know, on a weeknight?
Yeah.
So, but it's just funny when I, but no, it's funny when I heard a lot of people criticizing that. Like, one, it's based off the comic, and that's exactly what happened in the comic. Two, is like, what's this thing? And it goes like a lot of complaint. What's this thing about people want to brag about social, you know, I want to see my characters dead. I'm like, you didn't like them? You don't have, like, no other movie franchise do people like, you know what? I want them to die so the movies mean more to me. We only do that with comic movies. And it's only with, and it's really not even comic. We only do a Marvel movie. We only Marvel movies. So I guess this whole thing is kind of like, you know, people are some people are tired of people seeing them and having fun, and the fact that they keep making more money and more successful. It's like, oh, like somebody made a joke. I won't say who. A couple people made a joke, and one good one said a lot of critics are mad because they wish they could see Rooney Mara eat a pie for 5 minutes. In a movie, and instead they gotta watch something like this, like, because that's that hoity-toity criticism comes from. But yeah, it was just weird thinking that, like, it is what it is. It's coming from the comic, and the comic plays out that way. So, but even knowing all that, if you do a good enough job, the movie hits. Like, I'm sure these people didn't think, you know, Spider-Man's gonna stay dead. That didn't make a world of difference when he's there. Like, you know, when he was like that one, the two that hit the most when I saw Thursday was when Black Panther died.
Because yes.
Out of nowhere, and they like, wait a second, like what? A lot of people like, what the hell?
Yep.
Like, you know, because like, did his movie just make $1 billion? They knocking him off in his own country, and then the Spider-Man one because they dragged that one out the most. So, like, people were losing it because they did a good job building that relationship between him and Iron Man, and Tom Holland is a great Spider-Man to begin with. So yeah, that hit.
The I didn't know I did this. But when, because they teased Black Panther because they kept showing all of his people, and you know the guard. Oh my God, what's the guy? He's not the white gorilla in this one. What's his name? Damn it! With Thomas Duke, is that his real?
What's the dude? M'Baku.
Yes, that was him. They showed him, and then all of a sudden, there goes Black Panther. I went, and I didn't know I did it so loud. And Elise goes, you audibly gasped when that happened. I was like, yeah, because, I mean, partly for the reasons you gave, but partly, wait a second, they're playing for real in this one. I mean, because, like, Bucky going War Machine made it, actually.
Yeah.
But, like, Bucky, some of the, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy, Star-Lord surprised me, but, you know, Batista was always kind of fishy on whether or not he was going to be in anymore. And so when they start going, I was like, all right, Mantis, who cares? And then because they kept Rocket, and I was like, well, Groot can always come back as something else eventually anyways. But, yeah, they killed all of them but Rocket, right?
Rocket and Nebula.
Yes, well, if they follow the Infinity Gauntlet, poor Nebula, she's going to wish she's dead if they do the same thing to her. So have you ever read Infinity Gauntlet?
No, I haven't read that.
Okay.
I know, like, bits and pieces of it just from, you know, watching these, like, from reading about this movie, and people talked about, oh, if it go, like, you know, people go in those rabbit holes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why, like, the snap was the big thing in it. So when he actually did it, I was like, what? And because they teased it so perfectly when they're on Titan. And he goes, I can just take out the universe with a snap of my fingers. And he does a snap, and you're like, oh, okay, that's just to placate all the comic book guys. So I thought it was a really cool misdirection, because I did not see the end coming with him winning and all that happening. It's
funny, but a lot of people didn't. It's kind of like, y'all thought they were going to stop him at the end? I think the biggest issue is once you knew it was going to be a part one and part two, they kind of let the cat out the bag. And it was like, I think the reason why people didn't think he was going to win is just, it's not Marvel's MO. Cause like, you know, the villains don't win, and it's not about the villain. I'm like, the movie's about him.
Yeah.
And enough people talked about, like, you know, Gamora talked about, oh, he got to do snap his fingers like this. And Thanos talked about, like, you know, they talk about this for a reason. And it is not kind of talking about just like throw people off. And it's like, he did it, and I think the main reason the movie works with him is because his reasons are wrong, but he has a reason for why he's doing what he's doing, and they make an effort of making him have feelings. Like, him and Zoe Saldana acted their ass off, because they didn't have a lot of scenes together, but they had enough to see, like, it's a whole bunch of, like, torture history between the two, and her whole thing is like, you know, yeah, this is my dad, but not really, and you don't love anything. Like, her whole thing is kind of playing off like, you know, push come to shove, Thanos don't really love me. He's just pretending he doesn't. He's selfish and yada, yada, yada. And she basically dies because of that. Like, you know, and his whole thing is like, you know, I don't want to do this, but I've seen what happened when I haven't, and this is how I feel is the best thing, and I'm the only person able to do it. And when I do it, I'm done. It's not a whole, I'm trying to take over the world, I'm not trying to rule the universe. It's like, I'm trying to fix what's broken, and then I'm done. And his whole thing, like, he wasn't killing people just to kill them. He only killed them when he had to. Like, he made an effort to, like, I'm just focusing on what I need to focus on. If you get in my way, I'll handle you. But if I don't have to, I'm not sweating it, because that's not what it's about. How many villains have restraint? Especially somebody that powerful.
See, this is where I get kind of lost on the Marvel stuff. I was going to say Annihilus.
I'm talking about period. any of the ones we've seen, like, you know, Ra's al Ghul sometimes, depending on, like, if it's TV show or movie or, like, which role, but it's, like, it ain't a whole lot.
Like, usually, well, Darkseid's like, the obvious one, but DC's kind of totally screwed with that now.
Yeah, and his whole thing is, like, you know, I'm beating you because of math.
Well.
So, but no, like, that's, it's not a lot. Like, even Apocalypse, so, and maybe Apocalypse sometimes, because it's like, you know, if you're strong, I'll let you, you know, I'm going to test you, but if you're strong, you're making it. But beyond that, it's like, I'm going to take over the world, and I don't care who gets in my way, and I'll stomp you like that. It's like, you could have killed all of them if you wanted to.
Well,
like,
we forgot Galactus, but that's I just come around to eat stuff.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't use restraint if it involved eating a goddamn planet.
Yeah, so.
Because it's not like he's eating like...
Okay.
It's not like he's eating a quarter of the planet. So, but no, it's kind of like he had restraint because, like, you know, this is what I want to do. He had feelings, not just for Gamora, but just for, you know, even like his hench, like when his other, when he was like, oh, Ebony Maw, I assume he's dead, and Strange gave this nod, like, you know what, I've lost a lot this day. Like, he just had this look like, you know, I'm going through, like, this is worth it, I'm going to feel it. How many times people be, you know, feeling sorry for the henchmen?
It was funny. I guess we can go there, but what'd you think of the henchman part? Because Kevin brought this up, and it gets into that territory, you just gotta go with it. But Thanos didn't really seem to have a problem getting stuff. So what'd he need these bozos for?
I think it was, you know, he efficient. You know, he wasted enough time with all these other movies. It's kind of like, okay, let's get to it. I trust them to get these, I'll get that, and let's get it done. Like, you know, if I have to go all these spots, I'll go. But it's like anything else. Go to the supermarket to get this, while I go to Home Depot to get that. We'll meet up back at the house. Instead of we both go to Home Depot and we both go to the supermarket. It's like, especially if you consider how powerful they made them. Like, you know, Ebony Maw is waxing them. Like, yes. Barely dropping a sweat. And he was, as I call him, Paul Heyman, just basically talking trash. Like, think about how powerful they made Doctor Strange look in the movie. And then think about how he handled him. Oh, you know, you must be cool with the kids. Like, he was handling the Strange. Like, it wasn't a thing. And Doctor Strange was going toe-to-toe with, like, Thanos. And, you know, like, Vision, they made him be, you know, this overpowered. He can just handle anything. He gets a staph infection, he's out the whole movie. He gets that once, and that's it. Like, you just think about how powerful he looked in Age of Ultron and how powerful they made him out in Civil War. And then think about, he got hit once. And the rest of the movie, I can barely walk. I'm walking around limping and da-da-da-da-da. It's like, yeah. So they gave him enough power and enough strength to, like, you could see why he felt he could do that. It's funny thinking, like, Carrie Coon, like, I saw her in Gone Girl, and then I know she was in, like, the last season of Fargo. So to see her in a Marvel movie playing a villain, like, at this point, it's kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody's seen a Marvel movie, but seeing her, like, you know, this hoity-toity, you know, quote-unquote thespian is there walking around with, like, blue paint swinging around a sickle.
Yes. Which... See, that was the thing. The other ones, I didn't really... Like, the other ones, I just thought, all right, because I guess it showed you... And this is actually... You know, I'm fine with this. This isn't a criticism, but it actually shows you the efficiency of teamwork, because Cap, Falcon, and Black Widow come in and clean their clocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they take off. And then Iron Man and Doctor Strange, even though they just met, obviously, they can't do dick against one dude. So... It just kind of makes the case for, you know, as a team, the whole is far, far better. But
and it's funny.
Just like, whatever, they're around.
But it's funny where how much teamwork played into it and how much, like, the main thing of the movie was, like, because I heard people complaining about, we might as well get to, like, you know, why the Star-Lord, why he loses his mind. And it's like, because he's human. Because one, that's who he is, and two, it's understandable. A lot of people brag about, oh, I would have kept it cool. It's like, people run a red light and get a ticket and want to, you know, punch someone in the face. Think about Star-Lord's life. You know, lost his mom to cancer, finds out his space dad was the one that gave mom cancer, so he had to kill his dad. And then the woman that he loves, he just find out she's dead too. Like, yeah, it ain't be like whole, you know, okay, I'm going to hold it for 5-6 seconds. And it's kind of like, and people tend to forget, if Dr. Strange wanted to stop that, he would have stopped that. Because he kind of like, because he, how he was before he found out how things ended compared to after was like a stark difference. He went from, you know, yeah, Stark, you talking all this mess, but if you and the kid got to go for say the day, bye. Because it is, because I know the stakes and I can handle, like I've handled bigger stuff, you know, because Dr. Strange has handled, you know, like you was busy fighting a dude from middle management. I was fighting a demon. Like, think about Iron Man 3 and think about what, you know, oh, I'm fighting, what's his face? Guy Pearce.
Oh, yeah.
And tight-ass white jeans. I'm fighting a demon and dying all over again so our whole galaxy doesn't get destroyed. Like, I know the stakes, and I'm willing to, like, sacrifice the stakes. People getting on Star-Lord, I'm like, there's plenty of people that did stupid stuff. Gamora, for one thing, because she knows how dangerous Thanos is, and she's like, you know, he's got 2 stones. He's our most powerful thing in the universe. So let me go. So how about the 3 of us jump him? Not even the whole team. Yeah, me, you, Drax, and Mantis, we going to go sneak up on this superpowered being and just hope it works out. Iron Man, same thing. It's like, yeah, you know, we got the ship. We can go back to Earth where all our friends until the Infinity Stones are. But nah, we going to go to his home planet. Hope it's just him. And me, this wizard, and this kid are just going to jump the most powerful person in the universe, and maybe we'll get the drop on them. Like, they didn't know the Guardians. They didn't even know the Guardians yet, so they can't say, like, well, maybe we'll have some allies there. It's like, their plans were flawed.
Well, the thing, all right, see, the thing is, I mean, and I guess this is why, you know, whatever, but the plan was actually working. until Peter decides to lose his mind, which, you know, I don't disagree with anything you said. I mean, it's much easier to face a situation and go, this is how I would react, instead of being in that situation and having to react. And
everybody talks a good fight on Twitter. And it's funny where, because we were talking about Sunday, it reminded me of Dark Knight. Because it was the same thing, like, you know, when they had the two ferry boats. And it's like, we had bombs, and we control the other boat's bombs. And the whole, that dude was like, you know, we need to vote on it. Everybody's too weak to make the tough decision, so I'll go ahead and do it. So give me the detonator, and I'll save the day because the right thing to do. Push come to shove, he couldn't do it because it's easy to talk about making the tough decisions. But hitting a button and killing 3,000 people, yeah, most people aren't built for that. And it's good that most people aren't built for that. Like, everybody's bragging about how they can be a sociopath. Most people aren't. And God bless that they aren't. Like, the ones that who are, it's like, you know, you really want to be... You really want to be, you know, Jeff Bezos? It sounds cool. Like, yeah, I want to make the world a better place. I want to make it more efficient. And if I got to eliminate 10,000 jobs, oh, well. Like, yeah, that sounds real nice when it ain't your job getting eliminated. Like, it's harder to do it when it's actually you and you have feeling. Like, I'm not expecting Star-Lord to not be Star-Lord. He's been like that the whole – that's him. And he's been like that. So – I know it's easy to say, like, if he had just waited 5 seconds, but it's like, if Dr. Strange knew what was going on, he had to kind of play things out. That was the whole thing. It's like, he had to kind of, like, play it so, you know, Thanos to get suspicious.
See, that was my thing, is I'm guessing, and this is, like, one of the theories for the end, I'm guessing Dr. Strange saw that the one time that they won, that they had to let him win somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm guessing. So, and it's a solid theory, I guess, but...
Because that's the only thing. And they paid enough because it went from, you know, I'll let these people die to I give you this jewel to save your life. And Iron Man's like, what you doing? And he's like, this is the only way. And it's like, they gave enough, like, that's the only reason it makes sense, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. But no, it's like, those movies did a perfect job of putting together people you wouldn't expect. Because, you know, seeing Iron Man and Doctor Strange is like, yeah, they... Because it's funny, when Doctor Strange came out, a lot of people compared to Iron Man 1. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's the same movie except for a doctor. And, like, you see them, like, yeah, they got a lot in common. No wonder they don't like each other. Because two alpha males. Like, you know, I think I'm the smartest guy in the room. No, I think I'm the smartest guy in the room. And just hearing them, like, it wasn't no nice jokes either. It was kind of like, you know, I mean, I doubt you'll see Captain America call Iron a douchebag.
Oh yeah, because he even says, "Remember, what was it? Civil War, saying language or something."
Yeah, yeah, but but Doctor Strange had no problem doing that. Like, yeah, he was. It's funny, him and Thor were the MVPs of the movie because you forget how powerful Doctor Strange is, and you got a glimpse of it in Ragnarok. But this one is like, yeah, he going toe to toe with Thanos, like it's basically by himself, and he's doing a good job of like, you know, rolling with him by himself. It's like, wow, this dude is very powerful, and he's not even using the time gem. Like, he's just using like his regular magic.
Yeah, yes, and that was the thing I forgot, is there must have been, now, what's the timeline here? Because it certainly seemed, did they say it was 5 years after Civil War? Or something like that? It was, there was a determined amount of time from Civil War to this one.
Yeah, but I don't know how many years, I don't know if it's 3 years, 4 years, because it's right after Thor Ragnarok, mm-hmm. So... you know that was a thing. Yeah, it had to be like, you know, and Thor Ragnarok was about... It's funny because that time frame is kind of weird because it's a few years after Age of Ultron. Because it's like Hulk's been gone for like a few years. It's right after... It's like right after Thor Ragnarok, and I'm guessing that's happening right around... after, I don't know how many years after Civil War that happens, because it's saying like they're gone, but they don't go. I would have to look it up, and I'll let somebody smarter than me look it up, because it's kind of like time has gone by. I don't know exactly how much time, but it's like enough time's gone by for like certain things to happen. But no, it's kind of like you have that pairing, of course Thor and the Guardians. Man, it's funny, this movie makes Thor Ragnarok make a lot more sense. Because I know a lot of people complain about, they said it was like all the serious stuff had too much humor. And it's like, yeah, you take away the humor and it's like, I'm surprised Thor doesn't jump off a damn cliff. Like that speech he had, the rocket, like, you know, yeah, my brother died, my dad died, my mom died.
Yeah, where's your mom? Well, yeah, she died.
I found I had an evil sister and then I had to kill her too. My planet blew up. And almost all of my people, they died too. What about your best friend? Yeah, he's dead. I've been alive 1500 years, and I have to win because all these people try to stop me. And it's like, because I don't got nothing. What else do I have left to lose? Like, it's somebody that's lost damn near everything. Think about somebody as powerful as Thor. Is like, yeah, I guess I would be doing joke when I'm like stopping down. Like, yeah, my family, friends, planet, and people are gone in a short time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would feel a certain way about that.
Okay, so some small criticisms based off of Thor Ragnarok, all right? So one of the things that I thought Ragnarok just had too much humor when it shouldn't have, which Avengers didn't, thankfully. One thing they didn't address, and, you know, I guess maybe the second one it will be, but remember, when Banner said, if I turn into the Hulk, I may never come back. So he's still the Hulk, cool, but then he changes back to Banner, and it's never like he never addresses it. Like, well, wait a minute, I'm back, and then he's trying to like turn back into the Hulk again. So it's like, well, wait a second, that was like a pivotal moment in that movie, even though, you know.
I mean, it's May, not definite, and like in this case, it's like, okay, well, May, the other half of May is May not. And I think they kind of established the fact, like, you know, these stakes are high enough where I got to make that sacrifice. Because think about when the movie starts, and it's like, Thanos is already there, and he basically mopped the floor with Thor.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's kept Thor like Thor is a bag of trash. So it's kind of like, these stakes are high enough where I got to make this sacrifice. And, yeah, that fight. Like, I was laughing at that whole stake because it's like, people saying, oh, why didn't Hulk come? I'm going to think about it. Hulk's probably never lost a fight before like that in his life. And he still got the mentality of a child. So imagine you this big bully used to just always beating people up and you just get trounced. Mm-hmm. Not like lose. Not like it's, you know, it's a tough fight and you barely lose. Like, no. He got his ass whipped. And no, I ain't coming back out. Like, nah, I'm not going through that ass whipping again. Like, you can count me out. And it's funny that if you want to prove how powerful Thanos is, what better way than him just demolishing the most powerful Avengers you got? Like, easy. Like when Ebony Maw is like, you know, when they start fighting, he's like, let him have his fun. It's like, yeah. And Thanos just busts out the kung fu, basically chopping him in the shoulder and the throat and just demolish him. I'm like, and he didn't use any Infinity Stones, anything like that. He could have used them if he wanted. He just beat him up like a bully. And it's like, if you want to establish how powerful your villain is, have them beat the biggest guy on the block. And to the point where, you know, like every scene he's trying to pull out, like people are laughing at, like the first time they're on Earth and, you know, he's trying to turn into it and they're looking at him and Iron Man's like, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards and stuff.
Yeah, like I feel like I kept calling him a wizard.
You know, and just like, and his whole thing is like, you know, I'm trying to become this, like, we got to do this. And he's like, no. Like, you know, and it established where they can actually talk to each other. And that's like the first time they've actually like said, like, it's two different persons. Now, not like, you know, one's in control, one's not, but it's like they're aware of each other and they can actually like communicate with each other. And it's kind of like, of course, you figure like it leads to the next one where it's like the big thing is he finally gets over that and he, like, he becomes Hulk again. Yeah. And it's a great throw off because you remember the previews and you see them running through Wakanda, you see Hulk there. It's like, how about that? Like,
jokes on you. The Hulkbuster.
Yeah, you keep waiting on that scene, and that scene never pops up. Like, ha ha, we got you.
Which is fine, because, you know, some people complain, and I'm one of them, that previews give too much away. So it's pretty cool that that never did happen. But there was, what other Marvel movie, they showed a bunch of stuff. Oh, no, it was Suicide Squad. They showed a bunch of stuff that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was a different story in this case. But, no, there was that, and then the... what was the other? I forgot what my other like nitpick, which is really what all this is. Oh, it's not really has to do with the Hulk, but the other thing was, why does Thanos need a ship? Because he started teleporting all over the place, and it was like, was that before he had one of the stones? That was actually gonna be my question.
Yeah, he probably had. Well, he had one stone when they first showed up, like the end of Thor Ragnarok. Is when you first see him in the ship. And he already had one stone from Xandar. But the rest of the time you don't see him in the ship. It's like, okay, he's got the stones, but they don't. And it's kind of like, you know, y'all gotta get around somewhere. I got this big ass army and they gotta get around somewhere for transport. Like, where are they gonna stay at? Like, all these aliens that's fighting Wakanda, like, they just didn't teleport from their home island. So I was like, you know, hey, why, you know, Storm can fly, but she's still riding a blackboard sometimes because flying is probably tiring. You know, so I've never really had an issue with that. Sometimes, like, you don't want to, you know, do you really want to fly outside everywhere? Like, even the teleport thing, it's not just him. It's him and his gang. So I got that. It's just so much stuff to go on. Like, what was the biggest move? What part got the biggest, like, surprise, like, emotion in your crowd? Or the biggest surprise reaction?
Black Panther was one, and I like I said before,
not counting the dying part, but beyond.
Well,
that.
Gamora dying, I think, surprised me or surprised a lot of people. But there was also I don't know if this was the biggest one, but this is the most interesting one because of how the reaction went down. The Red Skull.
Mm-hmm. That was for me. That was from my theater.
It was, but it wasn't like a, oh, it's a Red Skull. It was, you hear everyone talking, and all of a sudden someone goes, yeah, that's Red Skull. It was like, oh my God. And I figured out immediately. I was like, oh wow, they brought him back for it. And just because, you know, Hugo Weaving kept saying he didn't want to do these movies, didn't want to do the movies. Then it turns out it's not even him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, oh, this is something we get to after this, I guess, but they brought back almost everybody from, like, every bit or major character from every movie in this, except for some, which...
Yeah, but my theater said, holy shit, it's Red Skull. Like, it was people that actively, like, said, like, wow. I was like, I jumped, I was like, what the hell? Because I was just surprised, because it's like, it fit the story, but I'm the same thing as you. Like, I never thought they'd bring him back. Because a lot of the reasons, kind of like us being quote-unquote smart fans, kind of like talked ourselves about it, because we, the average person doesn't read Hugo Weaving interviews about that, but it's like, we heard that, like, I don't do those type of movies anymore. And it's not, it's kind of like, they can always recast it. Mm-hmm. And that never crossed my mind. So when he popped up, I jumped like, whoa. That's like, and then, you know, he talked about where he came from. Like, that makes sense, because you don't see him, like, people always wonder, like, you know, you don't see him die. Like, did he get transported? Did he get teleported, vaporized? Like, they left it enough open-ended where that makes sense. And how they had it, you know, where they had him doing makes sense. One, that planet was like, the movie's beautiful.
Yes.
And that planet, it was, you know, gorgeous. Like, I'm like, this is just awesome. And that whole scene is just sad, because it's talking about how, you know, your soul for a soul. And the more they start talking, the more you know where it's leading. But it's like, they're not going to really kill her. Like, you know it's happening, but it's like, you kind of talking stuff like, I know they're doing a Guardians Volume 3, and I know she's doing Avatar movies, but you ain't going to have like, it's like, you talking about, like, you going to really have Guardians movie without her? Like, you keep talking yourself out, like, you know, they're not going to do this. They can't do it. And then he starts crying. And it's like, oh, yeah, they about to do this. And when he says, like, those tears are not for him, that's when it's sinking. Like, the theater got real quiet. It's like, oh, yeah, she's bone. Because she's thinking the whole thing is like, you know, you don't love anybody. You don't love anything. That love you say is a fake and all that stuff. And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. Like, he really loves you. And it's like, you know, he says, like, you know, I denied my destiny once. I'm not going to do it again, not even for you. Like, this is the most important person in his life. And but he's willing to do that. Like, the movie's basically, he's willing to follow his, you know, his path and his, you know, what he feels is right. And he wins. The heroes did what they felt was right. And that's why they lost. Like, the only people that really, like, Doctor Strange, Thor, and Scarlet Witch, like, 10 minutes too late, were the only people that stuck to their convictions. To, like, you know, what we got to do is tell everybody else, is like, this is not what we do, and we don't do it this way, and this whole one life, you know, is, we don't sacrifice a million for one, like, we don't trade on lives. And I kind of get that, because it's like, millions of people sound like a big number. It's still an abstract number. You don't know millions of people. You know your friends. You don't know strangers. And you could easily say, well, I'm going to say strangers. But they're strangers. You don't have any connection with them. Like, I know such and such, so I'm not going to throw such and such off the boat. Like, the whole stuff with Scarlet Witch and Vision. You know, people make a joke. It's like, she risked the universe because she loved a sex robot. It's like, no, they got a relationship. As goofy as it sounds, they love each other. And even then, like, she was still willing to go through that to do the, you know, to make that sacrifice. And it was a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But you knew what was going to happen when she did it, because, you know, like, you know, it's funny where when Thanos run into people that was able to make the hard decisions, even though he knew he could just reverse it, he always respected them. Like, when Quill was Rick Kilmore, it's like, you know, versus like, oh, it's the look, it's the boyfriend. And then it's like, you know, you're asking too much for him. He's not going to pull the trigger. And then he goes, I'm like, go ahead, do it. And he finally does it, and it's like, you know, turns the laser beam into bubbles. He's like, you know, I like him, and then leaves. Same thing, send up the Iron Man, like, you know, yeah, I know you, Stark. You're not the only person, you know, that's cursed with knowledge. And I'm going to leave half the people alive. I hope they remember you. Like, stuff like that, where Thanos is talking like trash, but he respects the people that stands up to him, even though he knows at the end of the day it doesn't make a difference.
What's funny to me is I talked to you off air that people are already starting to criticize. You know, it only took a few days. You had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday was everyone starting to turn on the movie already. Pretty remarkable, too, by the way. I figured it would have been at least a week. That was one of the things that they didn't... that they said that the Thanos character's motivations were cloudy. Or not cloudy, that there were no motivations for him. Or they didn't make his motivation clear. And after you got done talking about, like, how he respects people, how he's doing this, and it's like, if you didn't get what he was doing, you didn't pay attention. I mean, flat out, yes, there was 15 minutes about what he's doing, why he's doing it.
Yeah, like, he said this is what he's doing, and then he gave the reason why. To, like, multiple people, it's like, what do you need them to draw? Like, he basically, I would say draw a map, he basically showed a home video. Like, he told you What's he doing? He told you the reason why he's doing it. He told you what happened when he had the chance to, the first time he tried to do it, and they called him crazy, and what ended up happening. Like, he told you his plan, he told you his motivation, and he told you how. What else you need? Like, I mean, seriously, like, it's not that complicated.
No.
I want to kill off half the people to save the rest, because people use up resources. My home planet, that's what happened. Everybody died. I did on Gamora's plan. It worked. Is the plan sound? No. Would it have been easy to make more food? Yeah. I've heard arguments, people saying, you know, well, that wouldn't work. They bring up, I'm like, whether it works or not is irrelevant. He thinks it's going to work. So that's why he's doing it. And spoiler alert, countries in real life have done this. Places in real life have done this throughout history. There are people who, like, you know, we got four kids. We can't afford to feed them. We got to sell one so we can eat, or we all starve. That happens today. Like, there's plenty of countries, like China for a long time had this whole population control thing. Like, we only can have, you know, one child policy. You have more than one, it better be a son. And it was a reason why if there was a daughter, they drop them down a well. Consequence claim, we have a whole generation of Chinese men, and it's like, we don't have anybody to marry. Because we got a lot more men than women. Like, yeah, people have done this, and it's had unforeseen consequences. But Thanos' whole thing is like, this is why I'm doing this. Because when I did my way, it worked. When y'all didn't listen to me, it didn't work. You can call me crazy all you want. I don't give a damn. Like, the people that's alive gonna thank me when they got food to eat. Like, that's his mindset. Like, if you miss that, I don't know what you were paying attention to.
That, I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, they even showed, like, the cute flashback. If you want to put say cute, they showed little baby Gamora, or little kid Gamora, who was adorable. I mean, were you that blinded by, like, some goofy green kid? I just hate when people say that stuff, because, one, it's not true. It's, they do this stuff on purpose, and I don't know. It just becomes a way to try to just criticize the movie, basically, for no reason. But yeah, that was just something.
Yeah, you know, I heard people go, it's funny where I heard people, it's almost kind of like fans seem to love it. Critics, it's kind of like you can tell who likes comic movies compared to who don't. Like, the ones who like comic movies, they love the hell out the movie, like those critics. Quote unquote regular movie critics, they were like, no, this ain't right. I didn't know what's going on. They didn't explain to people enough, and it don't matter anyway because they're doing a sequel. And it's like, that's, you getting mad at a movie, you getting mad at a comic movie for being a comic movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's doing exactly what it's, want, you know, like, go watch another Daniel Day-Lewis movie about how to be the consequences of being a rich white man that's smarter than everybody else, and how hard that is to live in life. Cause that's somehow more serious. I'm like, watch those movies. Like, if that's what you want, watch that. If you watch the movie called Infinity War and it starring like a purple monster, yeah, it's a comic movie. Comic movies do comic things. It's based off a comic book. It is what it is. Like, you either take it for what it is, and not like, you know, like if the movie's not done well, you can't say, well, it's a comic movie. Like, no, if it's done well, it's done well, and if it's not, it's not. Like, take it for what it is. Stop trying to make it for what it's, like I said, too many people that's mad that this movie's successful and the reason why it's successful, and they feel kind of left out. Like, you mean I gotta watch Civil War and I gotta watch this movie to enjoy that movie? Like, yes, dummy, you have to. And if you don't, then you can't be jumping in the party 3 hours after the party starts and say, how come we ain't doing this dance?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, critics are obsolete anyways, especially the ones like this that it's just like you said earlier, the people that want to watch, I forget what you said, the girl's name, eating pudding or whatever, but those are the types of movies that they say, well, this is a film, not a movie. I mean, and you know exactly what they look like, you know exactly how they dress, you know exactly how they talk, and you can also hear like the smugness of them. You can just hear it. You already know what these people are. So to any of these sort of critics, whatever, it's just, ugh. They have a job that's no longer necessary because the internet exists now. critics only mattered when they got to see stuff weeks in advance and nobody else, you know, was in the paper. Well, now you got a newspaper on your, in your pocket every single day of the week. Every second of the day that you have a phone in your pocket, you have access to everything. And that's, it's just, it's a useless, dying thing. But
I'm not necessarily going to say it's useless. I would have said this. It's a way, no. Because they're skilled critics. And I read them. And they have a way of, like, describing the movie without spoiling the movie and telling you, like, if it works or not, based on the genre of the movie and why it doesn't work. Enough that kind of, like, it's almost like the criticism is almost better than the movie in a lot of cases. Like, but these hackneyed reviews, like, you got, no, I have no tolerance for them, because I can tell within two sentences the mindset of the reviewer. And if the reviewer is going in like, I don't like this genre to begin with because I miss Ashley Judd movies, why am I bother reading them? Like, they already have an agenda. Like, you, it's, I know it's easier said than done, but it's kind of like, you got to be honest about what you're doing. You know, if you don't like something, people going to pick up on it. It's like, why would I pay attention to somebody that doesn't? If I'm like comic movies, why would I pay attention to the opinion of someone that doesn't like comic movies and their job is to review this movie knowing that even if it's good, they're not going to give it, you know, the time of day anyway because they don't like this movie. And they don't like the how Hollywood's going because of Marvel. And it's, yes, like, too many people got access to grinding. Like, I get mad when we got to talk about this in the first place. Like, it, Marvel ain't going nowhere. Get over it. Stop talking about, no, I want to hear all that. Review TV shows. Like, if the movie industry has let you down that much because you mad that people like seeing such and such throw a cape on and you wish they were doing some character drama where there were no black people in the 1600s, go do that and leave us alone. Let me watch my movie and have fun. Because think about the fact that this movie existed. Just think about that. Like, the miracle it took when Iron Man 1 came out, and now it's a decade later, and you have a whole universe that built this one movie where we watched a movie where the bad guy won. And it made more money its first weekend than any movie in history. Just think about that sentence. Like, that was the thing. Like, this movie, like, we didn't talk about the money it made. Yeah, it made more domestically than any movie that has ever come out. Any of them. It may, like, people were wondering, like, you know, well, Black Panther set a high bar, can this pass this? It's like, it passed this and even passed Force Awakens, and it's already made close to $1 billion, and it come out in China yet, and it'll make Russia, and it'll probably make $1 billion by Friday. Like, that's, yeah, Marvel won. They know what they're doing. You don't like how they won, that's fine. If you in a movie critic business and you can't accept these movies, you need to get a different business, or you need to say, you know what, I'm not reviewing these movies. Like, stop wasting time.
Yeah, well, we got off the subject. That can be for another show, but it, the critics now, they want, it's similar to what you said, but they don't want these movies. Like, any there's three different two different types of critics. One that will review any movie and give it and base it off of its merits. Then there's the other kind that always have their agenda. And right now, the agenda's split. It's, one is, we don't want these movies. I'm tired of this. I want my Cineplex filled with Godfather movies, or I don't know, Schindler's List. All that's like, this is real serious, real stuff. Like, real emotions, real thing. Okay, cool. Then there's the other ones that go, this isn't how it was supposed to be. This isn't my Marvel or my, and they just trash it for no reason. And you can already see that stuff coming out. But getting back to the movie, I'm not even sure where to jump back in. But when you talked about, like, gasp moments or big shock moments, Red Skull was definitely one. Panther dying was another. The one that got the biggest cheer was when Vision and Scarlet Witch are fighting. They were in Scotland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the subway car train starts going by, and I'm like, it's Captain America. And all of a sudden, it goes by, and there's really nothing there. And then slowly from the shadow, and the whole crowd, just, you start this fervor build, and then one guy just goes, yes! And then they, when they whooped up on them that fast, people were excited.
Yeah. That got chairs in my theater. The biggest chair, what was it? Thor Wakanda.
That
like,
was another
people,
one.
People got up, start clapping, because Thor basically came like, I'm ready to whoop my Stone Cold. I'm ready to whoop somebody's ass. Like, Thor's whole storyline was, you know, yeah, y'all do what y'all need to do. I'm going to go get a big old axe, and I'm going to go whip Thanos' ass. And if I need to die to do it, I'll go ahead and die to do it. Because it's kind of, it's funny, like, we were wondering who Peter Dinklage was going to play. So all of a sudden, you see a big 10-foot dwarf.
Yeah.
People start laughing their ass off because you're used to him playing Tyrion Lannister and used to him being short. So you see his face on this big-ass body. It's like, okay. They know, and it's like he's using the Tyrion Lannister voice. Because that's not – he doesn't normally – I've seen him in movies pre-Game of Thrones. He didn't have an accent.
He doesn't have an accent.
He doesn't
have – He's from York.
Yeah, exactly. Like he disarray – and it's funny where like – you see this movie, it's like, you know, okay, he's from Asgard. They all speak British, which is funny. I'm like, why? But that's just how it is with Shakespeare. So seeing him in there, it's like, one, the juxtaposition, like, you know, the character he normally plays. So seeing him be, like, the biggest thing in the movie is just funny. And then him, his lines were funny. Like, this whole, you know, you got to take the whole power of a star, it'll kill you. And Thor's like, only if I die. He's like, yes, that's what killing you means. Like, that seemed like that was a line straight from Game of Thrones, and that got a big-ass laugh. And it's kind of like, and then the part where Groot basically chops his arm off to make the axe, and, like, that one got a gas, because, like, his whole time, he just being a dick, because, like, you know, I'm a teenager, I don't care about the stakes, I'm busy playing my game. He finally sees how serious things are going, it's like, you know, he steps up. So he get the axe, and he shows up a rocket. People were like, yeah, let's get it on. And when Winter picks up Rocket and basically yes. uses him as another gun and spinning around. And that was funny. And the real funny part was when Scarlet Witch finally decides to fight. Like, you know, she's protecting Vision that whole time. And then she comes out of nowhere, wrecks shop. And Okoye gives this look like, why we have her up there the whole time? Like, just common sense stuff. And because it's something that I'm like, yeah.
Well, no, why? She was back there because she was the only one that could break the Mind Stone.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you can come help us and then go run over back. It's like,
but you're also figuring she's going to come out alive too. So I mean, she dies, like, you're screwed.
No, I get the same. Reason why they have her, but I'm gonna have the same reaction that Koya had. Like, you see her do all this, and it's like, I've been sweating having my friends die for 10 minutes, and she shows up in 5 seconds and just handles it. It's like, we could have saved a whole lot of time, lady.
Well,
so,
there's also another part of that battle, which goes to the nitpick part. So they open up, like, the small part of the gate and filter them all through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they show, before that, they showed War Machine basically dropping napalm all over everybody. And I'm like, wouldn't that have been a better strategy, just open up that little bit and then just have Roddy fly in and out, dropping napalm on the small area where only they can get in?
That lasted until dude with the chain just knocked them out the sky.
Yeah.
They showed that like 5 seconds later. So I know people come on and complain about that. It's like, you know, it's the best type of, like, you didn't think you want to have you woke up that day and you think you're going to have to do something like this. And it's like, you know, you got to kind of think on the fly, more or less.
Real quick.
And it's like, it's easy to be, you know, like, it's easy to be Monday morning quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I said. These are called nitpicks for a reason. Now, it was War Machine that picked up Rocket, right?
No.
Or was it Thor? It was a Winter Soldier, wasn't it?
Winter Soldier, because he's like, you know, how much for the gun? He's like, not for sale. He's like, how much for the arm? And he just gave him this look, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to get that arm.
No, I really like that part. Winter Soldier shooting. Of course, Winter Soldier only has a gun. And I'm like, they couldn't have come up with like some magic gun or something for the guy. Like,
a magic gun.
Just something. Because it just seems so awkward. At least War Machine is, he's got all those weapons.
Falcon's flying around with two Uzis. Looking goofy. It's like, it's funny where Falcon was fine. It's around War Machine. It's like, War Machine has all this stuff and has a suit. And you got wings and two guns. Like, it's, I mean, I know it's like they serve different purposes, but like, it just juxtapositions itself that way. It's like, man, what Winter Soldier was going to do? Punch him to death with his magic arm? And it's like,
yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's any of those battles. It's just like, okay, whatever. You know, it's hard to get upset or something like that. But
they were fun. Like, they were fun battles, and it's kind of like, you know, considering all the stuff they had to juggle, it's like they did the best they could. Of course, it start funny where, you know, Black Panther, Captain America, like, yeah, we're gonna see who runs the fastest, and it's like, we got all these super athletes, and then we just got these two in front. Like, they use the turbo button. Like, that got a laugh there. I like how they basically, like, where's Hawkeye, where's Ant-Man? It's like, oh yeah, they're retired. And that's it. It's like, you got so many people in the movie anyway. It's like, after a while, it's like, because people are always wondering, like, you know, where's Hawkeye? He's not on the poster. You haven't heard from where he is. Like, we'll tell you. And like, yeah, we told him. You know, like, as obviously he shows up in the next one, what's he going to do in this one anyway?
Yeah, well, that's what I got to figure. Well, unless they show, I mean, if they don't want to use him, then they can just say, hey, he faded out.
I seriously doubt they would just have him die off panel. Like, as many jokes people made about Hawkeye, like, no, I think it's him and Ant-Man both, you know, show up in part four. Like, we'll probably find out, because it's funny where, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp happens after Civil War, mm-hmm. but before this one, so we kind of figure out how this goes. And then it's kind of like, it was smart to keep him out the movie, because, like, after a while, you got so many people. You run into the whole too many people.
Well, yeah, I mean, also you could have had like giant men out there just swatting people away, but whatever. I mean, but he would have gotten overtaken pretty quick, you would think at least. But no, I also read that they didn't have Ant-Man because, you know, and I thought this was kind of a cop out. They were like, yeah, you know, we can't have Ant-Man in this and then have people go into his movie and everything's fine. You know, like, this is a pretty heavy movie, and then all of a sudden have this take place in the past, and, you know, he's not even mentioning it, and everyone's like, well, wait a minute, he just saw all this stuff happen. I don't know. So. But I didn't mind. It didn't hurt the viewing experience at all. And really, I mean, I know Hawkeye was in the first one, but, or, yeah, it was the first one, Battle of New York, but it's like...
The funny thing was, the first one, people were mad because, like, you had him half the movie playing, like, brainwashed.
Yeah.
The best role was when he was in the second one, when he was in Age of Ultron, because they actually, like, let him be him. It's like, you know, we got all this stuff going around, a city's halfway in space, and I'm here with a bow and arrow. I'm like, what are you going to do? What we got to do is get off your ass and do something. Like, so, I liked them when they used them. It's just kind of like, with him and Black Widow, you got all it's this whole thing where they always get the jokes, like, you got all these superpower people, and you got a girl with a gun and a dude with a bow and arrow. Like, but I'm like, make it work. I mean, you can make it work if you want to, and they do the best job they can making it work. I know one thing. It's funny when I watched it with my wife, because we saw Saturday, and Captain America was in there, and she asked me in the movie, like, who's that dude in the black? And I'm like, who's he talking about? And it's like, oh, it's Captain America. You're like, yeah. I'm like, a beard makes a difference, doesn't it? She's like, yeah, it does. And I laughed. And people were like, you know, what's the big deal? Now, I remember when we went to, was it Dallas? One time I saw you and your wife was talking to me.
Yeah,
whenever,
Dallas. Yes.
Yeah, Dallas. And she's like, yeah, who's that stranger? And I'm like, huh? And then I realized, okay, I didn't have my beard. And the last time she saw me, I had one. It's like, yeah, a beard makes a difference.
Well, you lost weight, too. That was another thing.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, she's like, I didn't recognize you. I'm like, people, like, those, no one remember Fugitive? Like, Harrison Ford with a beard looked a lot different than Harrison Ford without one. Like, yeah, it makes a difference. Like, fat Billy Bob Thornton and Sling Blade with no beard looks nothing like Billy Bob Thornton in Armageddon or Billy Bob Thornton in anything else. Like, yeah. If you show Sling Blade to somebody and say, that's Billy Bob Thornton, I'm going to think they're a liar, because I remember watching that, and I remember watching them also. I'm like, wait a second. And I'm thinking, like, was there some prosthetics involved? Like, he doesn't look anything alike, like, at all. Like, he looks like Vincent D'Onofrio in Sling Blade, basically. And he looks like Billy Bob Thornton and everything else. So, yeah, like, that was more distracted, like, more hide your identity than Scarlet Witch not having her hair, even though, I mean, not Scarlet, Black Widow having blonde hair, because, like, that just looked weird because he just used to have having red hair and like red, like longish hair, and it's like shows up looking blind. And it's funny where a lot of people didn't get enough time. I'm figuring like the people who survived, it wasn't an accident who survived, because like, you know, I'm thinking they're gonna focus on the original ones, and if they go out, they get more weight. And it's like, I mean, if you had all these people die, would you really want Captain America dying in that one?
Well,
I would think
especially with a losing effort, no.
Yeah, I would think like they wanted to make a big deal, like, because I know people saying, "Oh, you know, it was a cop out and stuff." It's like, no, they did it on purpose. They want to give weight to the original ones, so the second movie can have space. Especially if all these other people gonna have their own movies, they gonna have time to shine. I have the sneaking suspicion where you're not gonna see Iron Man and Captain America anymore for completely different reasons. Like the way they built up Iron Man, this one, like, you know, I'm ready to get married and have kids and everything like that, which made him and Spider-Man, like when Spider-Man faded away, just hurt even more, because it's like Iron Man's basically playing Uncle Ben. His whole thing is like, I'm trying to keep this kid out of trouble, settle down, and now I gotta watch him die in front of me. Like that. Well, that's why people was crying. A lot of people like, yeah, I know it was a movie. When Spider-Man died, it hit me, because yeah, it's like they built that whole family thing up. So if it ends with Iron Man having a wedding and everybody going to Captain America's funeral, do not be surprised.
Yeah.
You think out of the people, like out of the people who, because, you know, Black Widow is going to probably still be around. Iron Man, like Robert Downey Jr. can retire at this point. Like, he can do what he wants. He's made enough money and they got enough people. But Chris Evans basically said, like, I'm done after this last Avengers movie. Like he has said that more than once. So, and it would make sense where it's like, you know, he's always been the one to make the sacrifice. Like, you can see him dancing in heaven with Peggy. If you want to end like on a note, it's kind of like, it's ways where I can see Captain America is out of here, out of all of them. The rest of them is like, you don't got to kill them off, so don't kill them off.
And well, I know Sebastian Stan's got, what, a 10 movie contract, so I don't know.
Yeah.
He can take over. That's what happened in the comics for a while. So if they wanted to go that way, but I think they'd have to give him a little more weight, though, because I mean, I know he's been in other movies, but you haven't really gotten a whole, like,
yeah,
you haven't gotten a whole lot from him.
I mean, that's the beauty of Marvel. They can do that if they want. They can always make something seem important. Like, they can make something seem important if they want to seem important. Like, keep in mind, not even this whole Ant-Man and Wasp thing. It's like, yeah, Captain Marvel is, you know, I know a lot of people at the end is like, what's this signal? Like, what's this beeper mean? Because they had no clue. Like, when Avengers came out, there's enough people who knew who Thanos was to be kind of surprised, like, excited. The rest of people like, who's this big purple thing? Captain Marvel ain't like a real popular character.
No.
So that's something only kind of like, if you read, that's only if you read the comics or like read spoilers, you know what that means. Other than that, it's like, what's that mean? So, yeah. But I'm looking real. The first thing I thought about, like, it's a shame we got to wait a year to see this, like, see how this ends.
Yeah, but that's just, I think that's like, we're part of like a binge culture.
But no, that's in a good way. That's because like it was so good. I want to see how it ends. Not like, you know, I'm in a rush, but it's like this just ended like, wow.
Yeah, you know, of course, it's like such a dour note.
Thanos will return. Like, that's, it's funny that they did that. It's like, yeah, because I heard people saying, well, maybe they should have a Thanos movie first. I'm like, they did. It's the one you just watched. Think about how the movie ends. The movie starts with him, the movie ends with him. Like, it didn't say the Avengers might return. It said Thanos will return. What movie ends like that, where, you know, the villain's going to come back?
Yeah.
Like, they basically, like, the movie could have basically been called Thanos featuring the Avengers. And it would have been more honest. Because it's his movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, it's Robert Downey Jr., obviously. They gave Iron Man, you know, the most screen time of anybody. Trying to think.
If you look at who had the most, did the most stuff, not counting Thanos, it's Thor,
yes,
it's Doctor Strange, and then Iron Man. and then basically like, and then Gamora, and then everybody else.
Yeah,
like it's yeah, and it's kind of like
they're just supporting characters for the most part. Yeah. But
like, and Gamora is basically like the heart of the movie, like her and Thanos. It's basically like, you know, like Thor. If it's like one Avenger the most, it's Thor. Like Thor had a whole arc from, you know, I lost everything, I'm getting over this grief. Like, you know, I almost won. Like when he threw that, when he threw the axe, and you think, okay, how this gonna end? And it just zips through that beam and just stabs him in the damn chest. It's like, that's I wouldn't like they made like they established that as powerful, but it's different. Like saying something than showing it. Like damn, Thor just showed up and he's like, I told you I'd kill you. And then you see Thanos there, and he's whispering. He's like, "You should have went for the neck and snapped his fingers." And it's like, "Damn!" Like that's when people realize, like, "Wow, he won." Because at first you're thinking, like, you know, you thought he got all the stones, and right before he's about to do it, they stop him. Then, and it's like, "No, he got all the stones." You think you killed him, and because you just missed by like 2 inches, you lost.
And I think that was one of the more startling things. Because I was like, oh, so they did kill him off. All right. And I'm thinking, wow, those people are screwed, man. But that's what I was talking about before. Like, when they gave you, like, the snap on Titan, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. But then to see, you know, it actually come to fruition again, it was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. So when Thor hit him, I'm like, okay, that's it. But I don't know, maybe I was too wrapped up in the movie, because they'd already given you, you know, that poor Vision getting killed by, well, I guess murdered, I don't know, sacrificed, if you want to be nice about it, by Scarlet Witch. He's like, nope, zoop, goes back, and then goes, all right, just pulls it out and murders him, just throws his lifeless body, like, at you. I thought that was really uncomfortable, because, and I understand Vision wasn't, like, the most popular, okay? He wasn't in but what, 2 movies? And even then, it was like it took him most of one to even come about. But still seeing like how he just rips the thing out and makes it somewhat final when you see the circuitry and everything else that was still connected to it. He throws his lifeless body to the camera just to make sure you saw. Nah, he gone. Like, good Lord. So when Thor hit him with the hammer... or the axe, excuse me, I gotta get used to saying that. When Thor hit the axe, then you figure, oh, okay, that's it. Just didn't see it coming. So I think that was the big part of it. Like, okay. And see, in the comic, obviously, they didn't show everyone, like, disappearing. He snaps his fingers, they're just gone. So, I mean, obviously for a movie, though, you want to have, like, some dramatic effect, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I get it. So... and I think it may have worked a little bit better that way.
Yeah, because imagine they just all just, you turn around, they just vanish.
Yeah.
It's like, what the people, and then the movie ends. People are like, what the hell? They even wanted like the end of The Sopranos, like, did we miss a scene?
Yeah, did my cable cut out?
Yeah, because I know when a movie ended, up until when the trailer, with like the end teaser came, my theater was silent. It was like...
yeah.
It was like the end of Logan. And at least Logan was sad, but the whole movie was like that. This movie was a party till, you know, even though it ended kind of like, you know, it's funny, movie begins with Loki just dying, and we didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was, I think, well, who, what was the, well, he wasn't first, it was Idris Elba's character.
Yeah, Heimdall died, but it's kind of thinking like, you know, he didn't seem like he wanted to be in those movies anymore anyway, so that wasn't a surprise. But it's like, you're used to Loki was there, and like, they have a history, and it's like, you know, I have experience. He's like, you call failure experience, like, not call experience, and it's like, he really thought he's just going to pull a knife, like, he probably figured he's going to go out, but he's just going to try to go out with a bang, because like, you don't really try to stab him.
Yeah, and, that's, you know, what I was thinking too.
And he's just strangling, he's like, yeah, no resurrections this time. Like a wink at the camera, like, yeah, we, you know, he's died a couple times in these movies, popped up, and he ain't popping up no more. And it's just funny where it was just all these people kept talking about how powerful Thanos was, and they all kept underestimating him. Like when the legends show up and they, Gamora stabs him in the neck. I mean, the Guardians, legends, Guardians of Legends of Tomorrow of the Galaxy. No, when Gamora stabs him in the neck and they like, wow, that's it. I'm thinking the same thing. Like, yeah, it's something going like that seemed way too easy. And his whole thing is, I just want to see we are heartless. You know, like Iron Man did all that and just cut him on the cheek. And people were wondering, like, how come Thanos didn't blow him? Well, like, they kept making sure he couldn't close his gauntlet. And I didn't notice that the first time I saw it, but I noticed it the second time. Like, you know, they were like, first, like, no, they put the Doctor Strange cape on, like, keep his hands open. And then Iron Man shot, like, a device on, like, you know, make sure he can't ball up in the fist. Like, they were making an effort for him not to use it. So I was wondering, like, you know, that made a lot more sense. But seeing him just punch crap out of Iron Man, like, when we saw in the trailer, it was funny. We saw in a movie, it's like, yeah, he's, even with all these stones, like, push on the sub, he's just going to punch you. When he's not throwing a damn moon at you.
Yeah, it was pretty badass.
But yeah. Because I was wondering, people describe, like, say, like, you know, so he throw a moon. I'm like, how does that make sense? So when you see him do it, I'm like, yeah, he ain't messing around. And it's kind of like, how did they even get to that point where they could subdue in the first place? It's like, he could have mopped off. He must not have taken them seriously either. Because, like, he could have mopped the floor with them. Because it's like, they just got knives and puny-ass guns, and you throwing planets at people.
Mm-hmm. Which, what a cool visual it was, too. I mean, there's so much good about this. Like, I know we're running up on end of show, that I know we didn't cover a lot of stuff, but it's like, if you've seen the movie, and whatever, you know what was cool. One thing I thought they mixed the humor nicely. I thought it was really cool in this. Especially when he started getting teary-eyed. I can't remember wherever Peter Dinklage, the dwarves were. He started getting teary-eyed when he saw it, and he's like, "This is real." Like, it was. They still had the small character moments like that were really cool. The one thing that did surprise me, one thing I really liked though, and I forgot about this after the credits. Obviously, that's why I think I told you, you can go use the bathroom. you're not missing anything, because, mm-hmm. My lord, those were some long-ass credits.
Yeah.
And boy, okay, I guess I should look this up. How large is Weta and Industrial Magic? Because they did the special effects for this movie.
They're
among other stuff.
They're two of the three, like, it's those two and whoever James Cameron uses for, like, special effects. Like, those are the big ones. And ILM, yeah, those the top dogs. And you can tell.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of, yeah, because it's kind of like, and that's why I gave sympathy to Black Panther, because it was like, this was getting filmed around the same time. So, Infinity War is going best. It's kind of like, you know, Infinity War gets the best of the best work, and it's kind of like, you got to get in where you fit in. And like, people kind of take for granted special effects, because it's like, especially now at this point, it's like, you know, like, oh yeah, it's Thor, Captain America, yada yada yada. I'm like, watch Matrix Reloaded and then get back to me about, you know, that was cutting edge when that came out.
Yeah.
And just look at it now, it's like, this looked like a PlayStation 2 cutscene. Like, it does not age well, but it's not their fault. Like, you know, special effects involving computers is difficult. It is very difficult, and we get so much of it that we just take for granted about, oh, this is a CGI mess. It's like, yeah, when it's done poorly, it's a mess, because it's hard to do right. When it's done right, you don't even think about it. Like, you watch this movie, and with, like, maybe a few spots here and there, you don't even, like, you never know it's special, but, like, Thanos will look like, look at X-Men Apocalypse, and look how they did Apocalypse, and then compare that to how they did Thanos. Mm-hmm. And look how differently would a movie have been if they did Apocalypse better in that movie. Like, and I liked X-Men Apocalypse, but yeah, it's kind of like Marvel kind of makes other studios real bad, and it's kind of like, yeah, y'all gotta step y'all game up. Like, I was thinking about that when they showed a preview for Venom. It's like, y'all expect somebody to watch Infinity War and then watch, like, something like Deadpool and then watch that? Like, something that's straight out of, like, 1998? Like, no. Like, y'all making movies, y'all don't even seem like y'all doing the same thing at all. Like, it's like, y'all need to step y'all games up. Oh, quick thing. I don't know if you noticed, but I definitely noticed watching the movie, and I was making a joke, so it's kind of like, I guess it got to the point in Marvel Universe where the cops decided to stay home.
Yep.
Because I didn't see
nowhere to be found.
No military, no cops, no paramedics, no nothing. It's like, let I handle this. We'll step in later. And I noticed it real quick when they were in New York. I definitely noticed in Skylight. I know it's nighttime. Nobody woke up. Y'all just, it's just, it's like, you know, Scotland is not, you know, Scotland isn't Iceland. Like, it's people in those streets in Scotland. Like, somebody would have woke up and, like, opened up a window. And it's like, and I just laughed. Cause it's like, no, the police just took the day off, huh?
I'm, yeah, well, yeah, I'm, the New York stuff, I'm guessing they're like, we've had enough of this. You know, fire, police, all that stuff. Like, we got superheroes now. Let them deal with this crap. Especially when there's a giant ship above. But, yeah, cause they, I mean, in the first Avengers, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Yeah, like, they showed up. It's funny because I've noticed they've showed up in other movies, like other Marvel movies, even like Iron Man 3 and Thor the Dark World. Like, when they've been on Earth, they've shown up. This one is kind of like, because it was just noticeable. Was, and I just laugh. I'm like, yeah, cops, like, you know what? Man, y'all got this. This ain't my beat, pops. Like, you go ahead and handle that. And no, but it was like, it was an awesome movie. We were wondering how it would come out. We wouldn't expect it to come out as well. It's funny, like, even Marvel's track record, mm-hmm. they still got us surprises. And I would tell people, for all the people saying, like, these movies don't matter, tell us the people that watched the movies and that were cheering and crying, they didn't mean anything. Because it meant something to them. Like, they were invested enough to, like, enjoy the movie and have fun and laugh and cry and cheer. It's like, think about these jaded assholes who still tell me, oh, da-da-da-da-da, blame it, da-da-da-da-da. And they actually able to invest in the movie enough to do that. Like, you can't tell them that's not important, that doesn't mean anything. That's just arrogant. Like, if it don't mean nothing to you, that's one thing. It meant stuff. Like, it meant stuff to me. Like, I watched it and I enjoyed the hell out of it. And that's, so it worked.
I don't want to say this, but I'm going to. This has got to put DC, Warner Brothers, in a straight panic, right? Because I know they're not doing the same material. They're doing the same material. There's always been that competition. This has got to be, like, guys.
This puts everybody in a panic because it's almost kind of like, they. I know, I'm like, some. I'm like, I won't compete with this.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. Like, think about the run Marvel has had with the past five movies, with Guardians, Spider-Man, Thor, Black Panther, and this.
Yeah.
Just think about that. Like, the money they made, the critical acclaim they made, it's like, you had three movies who made almost $900 million, like, back to back to back. Then Black Panther comes and blows everything out the water, and then you have this that makes more money than Black Panther.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's like, it's cheating. People, like, if I'm a movie studio, I'm like, either I need to step my game up or I need to play a different game. Because I can't, because basically it's like, I can't do what they do. And I know, you know, I know a lot of people feel that way. Because it's like, yeah, yeah, it's easy to beat up on DC. Like, I beat up on Sony too. Like, yeah, stop messing around with these silly movies. Marvel knows, like, Marvel's got this on lock. And you know the worst thing about it? It's not going to get any better. Like, this Fox deal goes through next year, and it's like, oh, yeah, you thought we was able to do stuff now. Wait till Galactus, Fantastic Four, Doctor Doom, and the damn X-Men show up. Like, it's a wrap. Like, basically, it's like, we're going to have Marvel, Star Wars, and all our animated stuff. Good luck. Good luck getting where you fit in. Like, yeah, John Wick, go ahead and make your money. Good luck if you think people still want to see three more Avatar movies. But it's kind of like,
well, don't they own Avatar as well?
Yeah, but it's like, they ain't sweating that. It's like, even then, it's like, they gonna own that. And it's like, I mean, it's funny thinking about that. Like, Avatar is the number one movie of all time. I haven't heard anybody that's talking about, I can't wait to see the sequels. It's like, that's still just weird. Like, they're gonna do it, but it's like,
well, it's because it doesn't hold up.
It's not even a hold up thing. Like, but I wouldn't even doubt it that much, because I felt the same way about, like, Jurassic Park. Because it's like, okay, you know, Jurassic Park was great. The other two was like, eh, like, this really a thing? And then look how much money Jurassic World made. And I know a lot of people that's excited to see the sequel, even though, like, that one is like, I've seen that once, and I haven't watched it since. Like, I liked it when it came out, and I was ready, but it's like, that movie made a boatload of money, and we were both shocked that it made so much money, and like, yeah, there's a lot of people that had nostalgia for Jurassic Park that I didn't think that nostalgia existed, but it's like, that's the thing. So, I wouldn't put it too much past after. Not even the whole thing, like, it holds up, it's just, how many stories can you tell from that? Like, it just seemed like they just trying to milk something that's, it doesn't seem like it's there, but hey, I mean, the movie made almost $3 billion. Of course you're going to make a sequel. They make a sequel to Titanic if they could.
Don't think people haven't thought about it. Mm-hmm. Like, just do another story during that night, not just Jack and Rose.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, so we'll have Deadpool soon, and then Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah.
There's something else in between that.
Yeah.
Can't remember what it is, though.
I know people were real excited about The Incredibles.
I'm looking forward to that quite a bit, actually. I love the first one.
I've never seen the first one.
Oh, my God. It's the Fantastic Four done right.
Yeah, that's what people told me. Like, and I'm thinking, like, I've heard nothing but good things about that. And I definitely, because I'm definitely curious about the second one. I need to watch the first one first. Because we got that preview.
Yeah,
Mission Impossible one looks wild. Like, that's, Tom Cruise is going to die one day.
Well, there's stunt guys calling him out. Like, you need to be using stuntmen now. It's like, we understand that, but when you get hurt, you just took money out of people's pocket while you're hurt. When you could have been having somebody else doing all that stuff. So,
and I get why he's doing it, because this whole thing is like, I want this. It's almost like, I want you guys to love me, and I want you to know that I love you so much, I'm willing to put my life on the line. But like, it gets to a point where, no, you don't gotta do that. Like, it's not just. Harrison Ford was doing that nonsense in his 70s. Like, no, don't break your leg for 2 months trying to prove a point that you're a tough guy. Like, get somehow else to do. You're the star. Like, don't do that. Like, Jackie Chan doesn't do that crap anymore, because, like, I'm too old to do this, and I don't got anything to prove. Tom Cruise are doing worse stuff. It's not like he's slowing down. It's like, okay, I climbed a building, and now I'm on a, like, if he's on a damn space shuttle with no damn suit, will people be that surprised?
Let's obviously not listening to this show, but let's not send any ideas out there. It's like, wait a minute, what about, you know, that guy jumped from space. How about I do that? Like, no, it's okay.
No, matter of fact, not even somebody jumped from space. They talked about somebody thinking about doing it, but they say it might be too dangerous. But what is danger anyway? Let's go for it.
Well, wait, what about that one guy? For real, god damn it, I knew we were going to get off on something. Remember he jumped from, like, what the whatever the top atmosphere is or whatever? Remember that?
Yeah, the Red Bull guy.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, imagine the time we're like, imagine that with possibly.
Yeah. Or imagine that, but they drop me in a tank all the way down. Like, no, Tom, no. It's,
like, can we go a little higher? Like, you know, how much does friction really matter? Like, so on that, let's not give them any ideas.
And let's get them moving. So thanks for listening, guys. I'm sure we're going to talk about this next week as we remember stuff. So, because this week's TV was just whatever so far. So, on that note, thanks for listening. Stunt Granny, all social media, Stunt Granny on your podcast. We watch stuff as well. I'm Jeremy. I'm out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohati, and Thanos to save the day. Because he said so. We are out.